Welcome to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
And we're back with the show. It's the Pop Culture Cosmos. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Please go ahead and make sure you like, subscribe, follow us any which way you can. Plus that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever it is that you can to support us right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and the Lakers Fast Break, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, a good friend has returned to us. He is the magistrate of everything barbecue and barbecue knowledge. He is the leader of the great sites that you need to still check out. Check all the archives. Check all the back content. Each and every one, because you will not regret it. It is the Smoking Hot Confessions Consortium, community, whatever you want to call it. It is Smoking Hot Confessions' own Ben Arnault. And Ben, great to have you here. You notice I didn't start off with a crazy on this week's episode. I think after about 400 episodes of doing that, I finally got tired of what to say at the beginning of the episode. So just how the heck are you, my friend? How about that? We'll start off with that.
Mate, I'm great. We've just moved into autumn from the back of an incredibly hot and humid summer here in Australia. And, mate, I'm just enjoying a bit of cool weather. I got to be honest with you. We had probably 2 months straight of, in American units, about 90 degrees and at about 90% humidity. So it's been pretty horrendous over the summer here. It was pretty horrible. And we even had Australia's first ever official tornado. So there you go. Hit our town here. Here on the coast, on the Gold Coast. And it was pretty wild. And we were watching the storm coming in over the radar on Christmas Eve. And Christmas night. And we were watching the storm come in on the radar. And as it came in towards our house from the west, we actually saw it split into two directions and went around our house and then back in again. It sort of formed like a little bubble around us. So our house itself didn't actually get damaged, but half a mile in any direction just got absolutely smashed.
Well, I'm glad you and the family are safe. That's first.
We are. Yeah. But some friends of mine had no power for weeks.
Wow.
People had their houses destroyed, 100-year-old fig trees, absolutely massive things, must weigh 40 tons, just ripped out of the ground and tossed around. It was wild, absolutely wild.
I can imagine. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I have some viewers on Lakers Fast Break that are from your area of the world, actually quite a few now from Australia because of their love for basketball. And I'll tell you what, the things that they've said about your beautiful country and the things that you've said about your beautiful country just simply amazes me every time, my friend. And I'm just so glad again to have you here. But one thing that transcends everything that we do here is pop culture, my friend, something that you and I have always gotten along with that. And the fact that you're just the maestro of barbecuing when it comes to that, as far as forget Bradley Cooper as maestro. No, we're going to make you the maestro of barbecue when it comes right down to it. But that's for a little bit later. It is about Marvel. I want to go ahead and start off first and foremost. I don't know if you've been checking out anything lately in pop culture. Obviously, the thing that I've been talking about on the show recently is Dune Part 2. And if you want to cover that, if you got a chance to see that, I would love to hear your thoughts later on, or at least hear your opinions on that. But Marvel's, I guess, front and center always for you and I, unless we're bagging on the DC universe. And gosh, it's been a few years now, and it's been a few months since I spoke to you, but I guess we could still pick on DC, I guess, still, even to this day, they still can't get it right. But
I had high hopes for Aquaman 2, and that they just disappointed me so badly.
Yes, absolutely. And this new start to whatever DC universe is coming up is not enthralling. The Batman 2 got pushed back another year, at least, I think, if memory serves me correct. I heard that report about, I think, early last week or the week before. We don't know about very much about Constantine, that revival. But that's not even part of the actual James Gunn's DC universe. So that's something else entirely. We just see the snapshot of the whole cast and crew is of the new Superman movie, which they're changing the title already on and changing the look. And like, if you're a Superman aficionado, I'm sure you're already not happy about it, but that's another thing altogether. When it comes to that, that's a mess that you and I could probably talk about for another hour on it at some point in time down the line. But Marvel has had its own issues, my friend. The past couple of years, even as you and I were having our conversations, were not kind to Marvel in the past couple of years. You know, everybody's always said, you know, as far as the same excuses everybody had, inflation, COVID, other things as far as addressing to it. But yes, you could throw some of that in there, but a lot of it is storytelling. And the thing that has gotten away from Marvel since, I guess, Infinity War and Avengers Endgame, to me, is good storytelling. So before we get into what's coming out for this year, what the hopes are for Marvel this year, on the verge of X-Men 97 coming out on Disney+, what are your thoughts on where Marvel stands leading into that? Your thoughts on the time that has been spent in 2023, the reset they're doing behind the scenes and going forward as we get into talking about what's coming up here this year for Marvel?
Yeah, right. Well, we have an expression here in Australia, and I don't know what your language policy is on your show, but we would pretty much call this a straight up show at this stage.
That's okay, like my that friend. One? Yes.
And I mean,
I would have actually used that for DC. For Marvel, it's on its way there, in my opinion. So it's on its way there. DC has already made camp.
Mate, Marvel's a show. DC is a flaming hot show. Like it's an outdoor toilet that's burning to the ground slowly. So, oh no, goodness. Quickly. So anyway, no, Marvel, man, it's wow. Like I think the last time I was on the show here, we talked about Shang-Chi, the Eternals, and we just panned them. We panned the Eternals. I panned the Eternals. I didn't like.
We hadn't yet led. We haven't gotten Secret Invasion. We hadn't gotten the Marvels. Ugh. Yeah. So.
Ugh, Secret Invasion. Ugh. What a terrible ending.
Yes, I know.
What a waste. Like we're going to take all of the things that make all of these individuals so amazing and super powered. We're going to put it into one person. And so she now should be more powerful than Captain Marvel.
Yes.
So yes. Now there's two of them. Wouldn't that just negate the whole rest of the need for the Marvel lineup of exactly. characters? Like,
I can tell you, also Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
I did enjoy that one.
Well, even that I had issues with because they set that up. And I'll start off with, I mean, Secret Invasion was absolutely awful. You've got universal thoughts on that as far as being a terrible project from the get-go. What a great idea wasted on that with so much talent that was given nothing to do. Secret Invasion was like they never read the comics. Yeah, it just never related to anything. It was absolute mess. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, I have personal issues with. I thought it was good. But the problem was they set you up to thinking that there would be a finalization, a goodbye, some deaths for some of the Guardians of the Galaxy. But no, everybody's just fine. They're just scattered somewhere, you know, maybe possibly, you know, leaving the door open for return. You know, nobody's dead. Everybody's fine. It was supposed to be this climactic thing that James Gunn, yeah, and it wasn't. It was just like, okay, we're just going to go on and keep on doing a thing. Maybe we'll have a new group doing some stuff, but the old, you know, the old standbys are, you know, all around. So it was kind of like just there. It was there, and it wasn't the climactic event of everything that I wanted to see out of what I was seeing with Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. Your thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3?
Mate, much the same as what you said, that there was a lot of hype up after the success of number one and number two. I mean, they were back-to-back really good movies in my opinion. And so they really had to come up with something strong for number three, and they built it up and built it up and built it up. And I mean, to me, the most logical character to get a big emotional farewell would be Drax. I really thought that they were going to, particularly with all the off-screen stuff with Dave Bautista.
Saying you would never do it again, blah, 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 yep. Final one. You thought he was going to be killed or something like that. Yep. Had an opportunity to do so, and they did chose not to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his whole pain point was that he lost his wife and child. And so saving those children, I was watching the movie and I was thinking, okay, they've set him up. He's going to save all these children, and then he's going to die saving the children. And that'll be his redemption for being, you know, Drax the Destroyer of Worlds or whatever that was, his full title was in the first one. And, you know, that'll redeem him for all the death and destruction that he's been wreaking around the universe beforehand. And, I was waiting for it, waiting for it, waiting for it. And then they faked this out with Star-Lord as well. Which
ends up eating cereal. That was the end.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And just, I don't know. I mean, either get Drax and not Manatee.
Mantis. Drax Mantis. And Mantis, yes.
And, I mean, get them together and the end of it goes, oh, and then at the end of it, she says, oh, I'm pregnant. And so then Drax gets a new family. That would have been okay.
Because that's what it was leading you up to.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but then everybody just sort of shook hands and walked away. It was so bizarre. It was a really strange way to end the movie. Yeah. I mean, like I still enjoyed the music. There were still good bits in it. I still had a good laugh, but yeah, the last 10 minutes just sort of really let it down for me.
Yeah. And again, it's just, it was something that they could have closed it on a better note and chose not to. But again, overall, I thought it was okay for what it was. But it led you into what we saw with the Marvels, which again, I've been reluctant to update my MCU list that I have on our Pop Culture Cosmos site, because I just how goofy it was. I had to sit through it, and it just was so goofy, was just so out there. I don't know what they were trying to accomplish. I understand there was reshoots, but the reshoots didn't help. It was just a pile, as you say, the flaming stuff that was going on. It was basically a bunch of trash thrown together. It's one of the worst Marvel movies out there. How bad? I'm not sure, but it was more goofy than anything else, Ben.
I think I can honestly say that I enjoyed that the least. Oh, hang on a minute. Thor 2. Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what it comes down to for me. That, Thor 2, and I think one of the Hulks, I think I put at the bottom of my list. So, yeah, I'm still trying to contemplate where I'm putting it as far as amongst the three. But that's not a good list to have when you have it at the bottom of what comes to you. Because we're talking 33 Marvel movies now, and yeah.
Yeah, it was quite disappointing. And look, I'll be honest with you. I was really looking forward to it. I thought, okay, Captain Marvel wasn't really that well received, so they're really going to pull it together for the second one. If they're going to proceed with the second one, they must have something really special. And they took Captain Marvel, who's supposedly the strongest one until Gaia, was the strongest one in the universe. And then suddenly she couldn't do anything without her two significantly lesser powered gal pals. And
it keeps on ping ponging back and forth. Yeah. Just all over.
Yeah. It's like, I really wanted them to do something like the first Wonder Woman film, like give us a good movie with strong female characters that have been written well. Give us that. It's like they went, okay, we want a movie with strong female characters and we want a lot of diversity in the cast. Let's give it to a bunch of 60-year-old white guys to write.
Yeah.
And you know, they obviously, a bunch of 60-year-old white guys are not going to be able to write well for young female diverse casts. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it was just, it was, I don't know. The writing was just so bad. It was so bad. It was painful, absolutely painful to listen to at times. I actually didn't mind the teleporting power thing. I thought that was a fun thing, but they beat it to death. Honestly, they overstayed their welcome with that gag, and they basically tried to ride that gag throughout the whole film. And I thought that Kamala Khan, you know, she was that kind of cute, goofy, kind of sweet persona. I thought she was characterized pretty well. Monica Rambeau, I didn't really see any character development or anything interesting from her, and pretty much nothing either from Captain Marvel, except we found out that she's married to some guy and they sing Bollywood dance routines. Like, what? What? It was just one thing after another of just sitting there watching it going, oh my God. Oh my God, I can't believe they did that. I think I actually got up from the couch and I went to the kitchen and I stacked the dishwasher and just listened to it from the next room for like 10 minutes while I stacked the dishwasher, because I was like, well, I might as well get a start on that, because I'm not going to miss anything here.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts. Curt Affair pointed out it is directed by a woman. As far as who wrote it, it was written by women. So unfortunately, the 60-year-old men thing doesn't apply to that as far as the Marvels.
That makes it even worse.
And it's just, it was bad. It was just, is in a, not in a good way. It was just very goofy.
Mm.
I do want to say, though, when it comes to it, and once again, I'm on with Ben Arnault from Smoking Hot Confessions. Please go ahead and check out all the great stuff that he's doing today at Smoking Hot Confessions. Again, it just led to a bad year for Marvel. It started off with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. That was terrible. And it just was not a good year. It's not been a good decade since what we saw with Avengers Endgame. So I think Kevin Feige and Bob Iger, in a very smart move, have decided to scale back the Marvel Cinematic Universe on both a television and also as well movie landscape. Echo came out, I know, earlier this year. I thought it was okay for what it was at best. I thought it could have been better, but it was kind of formulaic in much ways. It's kind of disappointing for what it was, because I thought it would have been in a lot better formatted the way that they were going to go ahead and make some changes. They're doing that for Daredevil, so they've gone back to the drawing board on that. But the one project that they have faith in is coming up here in late July, and that is Deadpool versus Wolverine, which is aka Deadpool 3, whatever you want to say. Deadpool destroys the Marvel Cinematic Universe, whatever you want to say, however you want to say it, whatever you want to talk about. It's something that I guess it has a lot more pressure on it than probably any other Marvel movie in quite some time, because of the fact that it has to perform, it has to succeed, and it has to set up things going forward in the future. So it has a lot to look forward to as far as an audience, but also has a lot of expectations coming along with it, Ben.
It does. It's really, to my mind, Deadpool versus Wolverine is going to be the linchpin for the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. If that movie fails, I feel like they need to just go, all right, what's next? Do we go back and do pirate movies? What do we do? Because I think that the way it's going, you'd be better off just saying, all right, this is where we got to cut this off. Rather than keep just trying to flog it and flog it and flog it. However, I've been thinking about this, because you did tell me that you wanted to have a bit of a chat about Deadpool and Wolverine. And to me, what gives me faith in this project is the fact that Hugh Jackman's involved. And not just because he's Australian, although that is part of it, I won't lie. Logan, to me, was a perfect movie. I find it really hard to fault Logan. I thought it was, I loved everything about it.
Well, you'll talk to him about it. He'll say the same thing. He'll agree with you. That's why it was so difficult for him to make the decision to come back.
Yep. Yep. And Hugh Jackman, he's a classically trained actor. He's all about character and character development and all the rest of that. He's not a, I don't want to name names, but let's say an action star that keeps appearing in terrible B movie after terrible B movie after terrible B movie, trading off his name because he did a movie 30 years ago that everybody loves. You know what I mean? He, to me, has a lot of integrity. He would not be back if he did not have faith in the project. So to me, because he has said on the record that for him, Logan is the perfect send-off for the character. So for him to want to bring that character back and do it again and do something again, I really think that there must be something really special about to happen in this film to get him to come back and do it again after tying up that character and finishing off his work so perfectly. Does that make sense?
Well, the multiverse, the multiverse concept, while it has created a lot of confusion and obviously more writing challenges out there as far as for Marvel in creating and trying to expand this universe, as far as storytelling is concerned, it does give you the option to bring back a Hugh Jackman with a variant of Wolverine, the whole TVA concept, all the things that are going to go on in regards to what's happening in Deadpool versus Wolverine. So I think that's what sold him. Obviously, it's also as well him working with his good friend, Ryan Reynolds. Obviously, that's still a great part of what he enjoys doing as well, because those two are thick as thieves, you know, as far as whether I'm hanging out all the time or whatnot. They're really good friends off screen. So coordinating on this, I think it was just a myriad of things coming together that made him say yes. And the fact is that his Logan character who died doesn't have to be affected by what you're going to see on screen and the Hugh Jackman that you're going to see on screen in late July.
Yeah, I definitely understand all of those things. However, I think that 90% of the audience is not going to get that. And they're going to go, hang on a minute, didn't this guy die? What's he doing back again? And just for that reason alone, I think that there just has to be something special going on. And aside from anything else, I really hope that there's something really special going on, because we've been praying and praying and praying for these two to get together for 15 years, for these two to get a film together.
And again, so this,
well, X-Men Origins, Wolverine Origins. Come
that,
on.
That one kind of didn't work out. That, yeah,
no,
that one,
no, that was, ooh, hang on a minute. Now we're back to the argument about which one's the worst one. Fox.
Yes, don't get me started on X-Men universe, because that's like the Fast and Furious. You know, the Fast and Furious and X-Men, there's just like, okay, can you find a through line as far as consistent storytelling in there? And the answer is no, you can't. There are some higher moments in X-Men, like Days of Future Past. There's a couple X-Men 2 is considered a good movie. Out, you know, in between there's a whole bunch of dumpster fires.
Ooh.
And a whole bunch of stuff that's out there that's really not too good. But in it, like you said, you know, this is really the first time they'll work together on the screen, you know, working together in a format that they both enjoy. You saw a little bit of that in X-Men Wolverine Origins, you know, but Ryan Reynolds, his character, you know, when you saw him there in that version of Deadpool, was not quite what you see him now, not quite what he was able to do. You only saw glimpses of what he could be. And then obviously with Deadpool, the movies that came afterwards many years later and leading up to Deadpool 3, you see how he has evolved the Deadpool character from there.
Yeah, definitely. It's like he was born to play that character. It's like Ryan Reynolds, I'm talking about, was born to play Deadpool. I actually just recently rewatched Deadpool 1 and 2, and even years later, after multiple watchings, I still sit there and laugh all the way through the films, and am wrapped in the action and still get engaged in the story. And, you know, like I know exactly what's going to happen beat to beat, and I still enjoy it every time I watch it. So that to me is the mark of a really good film. And so I'm really hoping that they can land it here with Deadpool 3. Now, what do you reckon? Do you reckon we're going to see some alternate versions of Wolverine? Are we going to see Taron Egerton? Are we going to see Harry Potter?
Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, because the internet has wanted him ever since he did the Weird Al Yankovic movie, because he worked out and was so buff and that he would be a great one. Yes, you will see variants of that because the TVA concept, because of what went on in Loki. One of the few success stories of the past few years has been Loki seasons one and two, has been universally thought of in a good fashion. So one of the success stories, they're branching out and making it a part of Deadpool and Wolverine. And I think that's a good idea. I think that's a really good way, as far as one of the few success stories you're tying into a larger movie, a larger concept, what most likely the odds will say is a large success as well.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Now, speaking of Loki season two, then we've got the whole mess with Jonathan Majors.
Yes.
Which is...
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Talking about dumpster fires, I mean, to be honest, I'm a bit confused about this, because from what I've read about the charges and whatnot, they seem to be less frequent and less severe than, I'm so bad tonight, The Flash.
Oh, Ezra Miller.
Ezra. They seem to be less common and less severe than Ezra, and DC still went ahead with his film. And Marvel's just completely cutting Jonathan right out.
Yes. I think also partly because of the lack of success for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and also a great part of it because of his current legal issues. I think it's a combination of both, that the audience members have decided in both a public and a movie forum that it isn't going to work long term. So that is part of the reason why Deadpool is the only thing on the slate right now, because everything else gets shifted. Everything else has gotten pushed back a year at least, so they can retool everything so that they can work towards a different goal or a different big boss in mind, and probably eliminate at some point in time the Kang characters once and for all.
Yeah. I'm personally hoping that they don't go with Dr. Doom. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's probably just because I didn't like the last iterations of Dr. Doom on the big screen, in any of the three Fantastic Four films. I don't know. I'd kind of like to see something unexpected. Like I love all the comic book films. I watch them all. I'm not a huge comic book reader, so for me, Kang the Conqueror was like it got my attention. I was like, oh, who's that guy? Oh, that's interesting. Why is he such a big bad? And so that sort of got me reading about Kang the Conqueror. So I'd really like to see someone that that we haven't already seen in film multiple times, rather than just go, oh, hang on, we got a hole here we need to fill. Grab Doom, you know, like it feels like a bit of a too easy stopgap. So I'm kind of hoping that they don't go replacing Kang the Conqueror with Dr. Doom.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos. Don't touch that dial. Wait, do people still use dials? What is Planet Cool Stuff? It's your ultimate destination for insightful exploration from the realm of pop culture. Delve into the world of movies, video games, toys, cartoons, and visit with one-of-a-kind creators, discover incredible places, and see historical artifacts. Whether it's a toy room tour or exploring the best of pop culture cinema, Planet Cool Stuff has got you covered. Planet Cool Stuff, exclusively on Jinx Esports TV Canada.
Once again, it is Ben Arnault along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. We're talking Marvel right now because we mentioned before the break, Dr. Doom, my friend. Dr. Doom, and the reason why I say that, if you've seen the trailer for Deadpool 3, they're, you know, sitting next to him when he's lying on the ground, ready to get impaled by Wolverine. There's a comic, a Marvel comic. And it, I don't know if it's a, I believe it's a Secret Wars, but it does have Dr. Doom on the cover. So I have a feeling whether you like it or not, my friend, Dr. Doom is going to get involved in some form. And Secret Wars, the whole, you know, combat planet, you know, that they, you know, that evolved into, all that stuff that in that storyline, that's all, you know, a plan, a work of Dr. Doom. So I have a feeling we're going to see Dr. Doom in a much larger role, whether you like it or not, my friend.
Yeah, I think so too. And there was that blink and you miss it in that trailer as well, where there's a very Doom-like looking character riding a machine that's rolling across the desert there. And yeah, that sort of made me go, oh no, come on, try a little bit harder.
Yeah, at just at this point, I would probably guess that that would be my opinion. Kurt Affair says, I want to see Denzel Washington Kang variant take over. Could you get Denzel Washington to go ahead and do that? You know, if that's the case, his caliber of acting, his caliber of actor, his caliber of cachet could probably be the only thing that could save Kang as far as being a major variant if you wanted to continue that Kang storyline. He says He Who Remains was good. Kang and Ant-Man 3 had moments. But again, it's all about dollars with Marvel. Ant-Man 3 was a very great disappointment to them. You know, he was pretty good. Jonathan Major was in Ant-Man, in Loki Season 2. But again, it's just not enough. His legal troubles and what happened in Ant-Man 3 on a larger basis, I think, is just not going to allow him to be able to continue to pursue that character. I just think it's something, as you know, Kurt, and as you know, Ben, and as everyone else knows out there, since Marvel's owned by Disney, Disney is only willing to go ahead and let people go so far before they say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and make a change. We're going to go ahead and go do something different. And with the Marvel Universe, you can always throw different villains and different characters out there to replace ones that might be undergoing something like that. But I could see Denzel Washington, if he, you know, I know this, sir, I've seen some fan art from as well out there, if you decide to go that route, but I have a feeling they just want to go ahead and make a shift altogether.
Yeah, I got to be honest, if I had to choose between Denzel Washington coming, like replacing Jonathan Majors as Kang, or moving to Doom, I'd much rather take Denzel Washington. He is absolutely amazing. And I wouldn't even try and do anything like say, okay, well, I'm an older version of that variant. No, just straight swap, one out, one in, keep going. Yeah. That's what I'd like to see if I had a choice. Or possibly Creed, Apollo Creed. No?
Oh, Michael B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan, yes.
Because you know he's already played a character in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I know.
But you would have him come up as something different this time around, which is, again, not uncommon because they've had several individuals play different roles in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So.
Yep. Captain America used to be Johnny Storm.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. But I have a feeling they're not done with Michael B. Jordan in the Black Panther universe just yet. I have a feeling they're not finished with him as far as maybe bringing him back in some form or fashion with his character, but we'll see. Kurt Affair says, I wanted Michael B. Jordan to take over as Black Panther, Killmonger variant. Exactly. You could see Killmonger rise once again, and that I would not be surprised because he is such an outstanding actor, and I believe that would be something that a lot of people would be interested in. In fact, remember him, he was a part of the Fantastic Four in the last decade. So when they did that too. So even he has been a part of a different Marvel character indeed. But
he's been Johnny Storm as well.
Yes, absolutely. So one thing I do want to go ahead and stress is that there's so much writing on Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Absolutely. In your opinion,
how much is it? How important is it to you? How important do you think it is for setting up the MCU to come?
Look, for me personally, after, I mean, you and I have been doing these shows for about 6-7 years now. We've been talking about Marvel and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. For me, if it's terrible, it's pretty much the point where I'm going to give up hope on the MCU, I think. I'm one of the few people who actually enjoyed The Flash, and I was hoping to see some more of that.
You are. There's like rare amount of people who say they enjoy The Flash. I just want to let you know, you are in rare company. I'm not one of that company, but you are rare company.
I know. Look, I really enjoyed it. I took my son to see it. We were laughing. We were crying. We had a great time. Cheering out loud when I saw Michael Keaton up on the screen as Batman. I loved it. I loved every second of it. But anyway, I was excited for that. And now DC's shifting direction. And they're doing strange things like, Peacemaker Season 1 is not canon, but Peacemaker Season 2 will be canon. Just doing strange things like that. So that's got me worried about the whole superhero genre. I mean, it really kicked off properly in 2008 with Iron Man 1. Yeah. We're 16 years in at this stage. I mean, we've never had a series of a genre. We've never had a genre dominate for as long as we have with superhero movies. And with the DCU already on fire, and they're desperately trying to do something different with James Gunn. And I mean, to be honest, I really enjoyed The Suicide Squad. I thought that was really good. So maybe he's going to be able to turn it around. I just think it's too far gone. And I think if Deadpool can't turn it around for Marvel, I think people are going to walk away from Marvel as well.
I agree with you. I think that this will probably be the last strike for a lot of people if it isn't good. But I think that Disney has a lot of confidence on it. They have a lot of confidence in what they've seen so far of it. That's why they cleared the slate. That's why they made this the Marvel event for 2024. And I think that was a smart move. If you have that much confidence in it, by all means. I mean, in Vegas, you're putting all your chips on the table with this film, but it is looking like it's going to be about as safe as bet as you can make, even if it's the R rating, even if it's language and all that stuff. It is Deadpool. It is a known property. It has been a successful property. And to be able to do a lot of things, I'm just worried that it's going to be asked to do too much and that it might take away from the comedy, because you have to do so many things as far as what you have to set up, the story you have to tell within the confines of the movie. Plus, you have to make sure you have all the in-jokes in there. You have to make sure it's still a funny movie at heart. And that's what I'm hoping it will be first and foremost, Ben.
Me too, mate. You've summed it up really well. I will say there's only one thing I'm perhaps more excited for than Deadpool versus Wolverine, and that is new Daredevil. I loved, loved, loved. Perhaps my favorite thing in the whole MCU has been the Netflix Daredevil show.
Which wasn't canon. Now
it wasn't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they're pulling some of those funny games as well. But in terms of Marvel characters, that's probably my favorite thing so far. And the Punisher. I'm really looking forward to seeing John Bernthal back as Punisher as well. So I'm super pumped to hear that those things are going ahead. And I'm honestly, after watching Echo, I'm really glad that they've decided to stop Daredevil, pull it apart, and do it again. I think that's probably the best news I've heard in a long time.
And that won't be coming out until probably late next year.
I know!
Which is going to be disappointment for a lot of people. But again, they're hopefully going to make it better. Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin character, even in Echo, he was one of the best things about Echo when I watched it. And again, I'm looking forward to seeing how they enlighten his character, how they improve his character, how they make expand his character. Obviously, he cannot be the universal galactic bad guy that you center everything around, which is a shame because, of course, he can only do so much. But it would be enjoyable if he could, because Vincent D'Onofrio is one of the few things we've seen in the past couple years when it comes to Marvel be something that's successful and good and what you want to promote going forward.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, he I could see the Kingpin making a deal with the devil.
Could be. Absolutely. He was good in his moments in Hawkeye. He was good in his moments in Echo. So I look forward to seeing what he and also as well Daredevil will do in Daredevil Born Again when that series comes out next year on Disney Plus. Curtis Ferris says if they make the next Spider-Man movie ground level, Kingpin could be the big bad in there too. Absolutely, but it all depends on how much Sony wants to play ball with Marvel. To what extent do they want to play ball with Marvel? Because sometimes they want to play nice with them. They want to be involved in the MCU. Sometimes they don't. Maybe the failure of Madame Web.
I was going to bring her up, yeah.
Yes. and Morbius, maybe those the fact that those two have bombed and the fact that they've had to move up Venom 3 to, I think, a September starting date, which I think is kind of risky because it's kind of, or is it October? It's basically it's a fall, which I think is kind of risky because I think you should have left it for a winter or a prime movie watching date. I think that probably would have been my summation on where I would have put it because Venom 1 and 2 have been successful. But again, Sony has had its stuff going on. I'm still not loving the fact that you would devote a movie to Kraven the Hunter. I think is going to be another in the line of Madame Webb's and Morbius's as opposed to being more Venom's, but we'll see.
The trailers look good for it though.
They do, but it's just not a sellable character. It's just not a sellable to a general audience. When you talk about something to the hardcores, who's talked about specifics, yes, but even if it's a good storytelling, I'm not sure how well Kraven the Hunter sells to a larger audience.
Yeah, good point. Good point. I mean, if you haven't already read the comic books, then you'd never know who Kraven was.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is that as well. But then maybe that's going to be the surprise. I mean, that's kind of why Iron Man worked. Like he was, if you'd read the comics, then you knew who he was. But if you were just a casual movie watcher, you didn't know, and then that's birthed this whole thing. But I mean, after how bad Morbius and Madame Web were, you'd almost think Marvel would just sort of shake their hands and say, you know what, keep Spider-Man. We don't want anything to do with you anymore.
Very good.
And just
very
wave
good
goodbye indeed. To Sony.
Yep, absolutely. But still, unfortunately, as long as Sony has those rights to the Spider-Man characters, which I'm sure every single day, Kevin Feige curses it. It's bad enough he has to deal with the Universal Hulk deal and whatever limbo that's in. I don't know if it's actually been, I don't think it has still been to this day completed 100%. I think still you can't have Hulk as the lead in a Marvel movie unless it's Universal slapped onto it. So yeah, as of now. So hopefully when they can get that changed and one day we can get all Marvel under the same roof. But something before we hit the break and we talk about barbecue on the back end, I want to ask, is there any life left in superhero movies? Is there anything that we can still see? You talked about 16 years of this genre really hitting high. I mean, Batman, Christopher Nolan movies aside, I mean, a lot of people would say it is Iron Man. Some people would say it's Batman Begins that really started the revival of Superman, you know, of superhero movies. I understand there's superhero fatigue. We've clearly seen it. Anybody who tries to deny it is absolutely insane. They just have to look at the numbers and see. I had told you that before, I think storytelling has become a major weakness as far as why so many projects have failed over the past 5 years, let's say, since Avengers Endgame. But in your mind, is there still life in the superhero genre yet?
Look, I really think it's all going to come down to Deadpool. I mean, if we could, if he really can prune the multiverse and bring it all together, I mean, that's really the only thing that can save it. I mean, he says in the trailer, like, I'm Marvel Jesus or something like that. Yeah. The MCU Jesus. I mean, he's going to have to pull off something pretty much at that level for them to be able to turn it around. I mean, I thought that the Inhumans show had potential, and I watched the first two or three episodes and I couldn't even watch the rest. So, I mean, there's all those stories to be explored. There's still tons of stuff out there. We haven't even seen, you know, like I'd like to see the X-Men done right. Yeah. As we said, the first X-Men I really enjoyed. X2 I thought was pretty good. And then Days of Future Past and all the rest of them were just awful, awful. And then I heard, I read something the other day. What was it? That when the X-Men does come over, they're going to do the Phoenix again. They're going to have a third crack at it. I'm like, come on, do something else. There has to have been something else in, you know, 30, 40 years of comic book, of that line of comic books. There has to be something else for you to do in there. There has to be. I'd like to see some of that done right.
If you're in the Las Vegas and Henderson areas and are looking to buy, sell, or trade the best in classic or current video games and pop culture collectibles, there's no better place to go than Retro City Games. From Xbox to PlayStation, Nintendo to Atari, the great crew at Retro City Games provides the best place to go for all your gaming options. Stop by their two awesome locations in Henderson and also the Las Vegas Strip, or follow Retro City Games on Facebook and Instagram for all the latest deals and new items. Without a doubt, there's no better place to go for your gaming needs than your friends at Retro City Games.
Kurt, don't get me started on Anson Mount and Black Bolt. How they wasted that man's talent at Marvel.
Ugh.
Is criminal. Absolutely criminal. He is fantastic in Strange New Worlds, Anson Mount, and see him wasted in a virtually non-speaking role is absolutely asinine. That's the one thing I would say. It wasn't Kevin Feige's issue. It was Ike, I know he needed a job. He got the job. It was starring role, et cetera, in Inhumans. But still, Ben, you know, that's total waste of Anson Mount's talent at NBC. So a lot is writing in late July on Deadpool versus Wolverine, and we'll see what happens. And definitely want to, you know, hear your thoughts once you do see it, and definitely want to know exactly what your vision for Marvel is going forward after that movie, my friend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about it, mate. It's going to be good.
But before we head on out, my friend, as since you are the connoisseur of barbecuing like no other human on this planet, although you would say otherwise, you're very humble in that. But, you know, I've seen your work. I've seen your mastery. I know the truth. Once again, it is Ben Arnault from Smoking Hot Confessions. Please go ahead and check out the entire archive available to you now on YouTube, Facebook, the community. Just be a part of it. Just check out everything. Your mouth will water. You'll just absolutely be mesmerized by all the great things that is there in that community. But before we end it out, my friend, as you know, everything has gone up. I just read an article about here in Northern California, a restaurant owner who doubled the price of his burrito from $11 to $22. And he has talked about how that is what is needed. That price is what is needed to make a profit going forward. And I'm like, if you double the price of a burrito, that's, you know, good luck. There you go. Absolutely. So, but prices are going up on things, and you've seen it when you go to the market, you see it when you go to get food or whatnot. That's just what's happened over the course around the world for the past few years. But for those who still enjoy a good barbecue, I wanted to hear your thoughts. For years I've thrown out different things at you, and I'm trying to think of always something I knew I could throw, a new angle, a new wrinkle. Okay, so how about seafood? How about ribs? How about this? How about steak? I'm always throwing something, a turkey. I've even thrown a turkey at you. So this time I ask, with what prices are these days, and you know, everybody's, you know, trying to watch their dollar a little bit more, your thoughts on barbecuing on a budget, how would you go about it in this days and age, and where would you turn to still make a great meal for the family and friends as well?
Good question, mate. Look, I don't know how you're going, but as I'm getting older, I'm finding portion size has a lot to do with it. My first recommendation is maybe a dress portion size. Aside from that, I would recommend looking at some of the less popular, not just cuts, but actual proteins. So I grew up on a goat farm, for example, and goat is a really cheap meat. And it's because people kind of think of goats and they go, oh my God, don't they eat garbage? We don't want anything to do with them. Goat meat is actually really tasty, and it's similar to lamb in that you want the animal to have been processed before it hits 12 months old. And typically when you buy goat, you're getting males that have been weathered, which means they've been neutered when they were babies. And part of that helps with the taste of the flavor of the meat as well, because then the meat doesn't get all that hormone and testosterone in it as well. And it needs to be processed before it's 12 months old. If you get that, then it's like a lean version of lamb. So sometimes when you cook lamb, you eat lamb, you get on the top of your palate of your mouth, you get kind of a fatty layer. You don't get that with goat. And goat can be barbecued in so many different ways. You can low and slow a shoulder and have pulled goat. I've done that. You can get a rack of goat and do it either hot and fast in little cutlets like you do with lamb, or you can do the whole rack and you can do them low and slow with a smoke. There's just so many different things you can do. You can lamb ribs have become popular here in Australia, and there's no reason you couldn't do exactly the same thing with goat. So I'd be looking at some more of the rare or not so much rare, but less common proteins, and starting to explore some of them a bit more and really get into that. And I've actually started to use my barbecue for non-traditional things as well. So because I just love spending the afternoon outside having a cold drink and barbecuing, I'll even just throw some charcoal on and grab a saucepan out of the kitchen, and I've even cooked a vegan red lentil curry over the charcoal out on the grill. So you know, there's no meat at all in that. So you know, just come up with some different ideas, find some different things that you like, and try some different proteins. You know, what's the price of deer like over in the States? Is that cheap?
Venison. It's okay. It's still, because it's harder to find, it's still they do tack a little bit of a price onto it. But I know for here in Vegas, it can be found. It's just a little bit harder to find. I know it's still served in just a limited amount of pits. It's just because it's not mass produced. It's just not mass shipped. It's just a little bit harder to find. And like you said, you know, whether or not you can find good deals on it is a little bit, I think that's the question. Is it easier for people to access? And that's, I think, that would be the issue as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. Well, look, I tell you what, this last one, it's a bit out there, but I happen to know a guy, his name's Joe Wilson, and he's the founder of the world champion. Actually, it's from Bentonville, Arkansas, the world champion squirrel cook-off. Okay. So there's always that.
My friend. Okay. But how about, you mentioned lentil and you mentioned non-meats that you grill on a barbecue. You've always talked to me before about having side dishes as far as grilling vegetables and things of that nature. What are the vegetables that you like to grill when you go ahead and you make those meals of yours?
So I like grilled broccolini, actually. And
really?
And, yeah, good choice. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Nice bit of oil, like vegetable oil on it, so that the leaves on the broccolini don't sort of burn up too much. And some nice, once they're finished, a bit of sea salt flakes over the top. Comes up really nicely as well. A little bit of dried, cut up finely rosemary, just sort of sprinkled over the top. That'd go really well with a bit of goat, actually. Rosemary and goat goes together really well.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, it's some of the vegetables there like that. Asparagus is good as well. You know, if you can't not have a bit of meat, then just get some little strips of bacon and wrap that around the asparagus. The fat from the bacon helps to sort of helps the asparagus to not burn as badly or as dryly. So yeah, there's those different options as well. One thing that I used to do on, I haven't done it in a while, is I would get some potatoes and I'd really thinly slice them and I'd soak them in a bowl of white vinegar and salt. And I had a, at the time I was cooking on a gas barbecue with a solid hot plate, and I'd put the, I'd pull the chips out of the solution and I'd put them onto the flat top and I'd sort of shallow fry them on the flat top of the barbecue. And then at certain points I'd tip the salt and vinegar mixture back over, sort of almost like a marinade. And you'd end up with these barbecued salt and vinegar chips. So that was quite interesting as well to do it that way. I can see Kurt's put a question for me down here.
Yep,
in the,
I was going to mention that to you before we head on out, my friend. And that is, do you ever grill any different cheeses like paneer or halloumi?
I have barbecued them for other people, but I can't comment as to how successful it was because I couldn't eat it myself. I'm actually, I have a cheese allergy. I get classic hemispherical migraines from cheese and chocolate. So sadly, there's no cheese on the menu for me. But I have done grilled halloumi for my wife, and that's pretty straightforward. You take the block of halloumi, you cut a cut a slice about half an inch thick, and just grill it across. Put it at 45 degrees across the grill. Turn it another 45 degrees so you get some of those nice cross lines on there. She says she loves it, so that's really good as well. And I have actually seen some people will get a wheel of brie, and they'll wrap that in bacon. And they'll slow smoke it and they'll put it on a plate and then drizzle honey over the top and then slice into that. So you get melted bacon, honey, brie. Again, can't comment on it. I haven't tried it for obvious reasons, but I'm told it's very, very good.
You did it again, though. You did it again. You just, you had to go ahead. I might be off to the store even at 1 o'clock in the morning. My gosh, you did it again, my friend. You just, every single time I bring you on, you always make me think. You always make my mouth water as far as getting that good food out there. Always great suggestions. But before we end on out, I want to make sure you go ahead and do the magic pitch. I know, Kurt, you want to see me excited? Go ahead and check out one of the, in the archives, some of the earlier shows with me and Ben. At very end of each show, I would always ask him about a barbecuing tip. And, you know, went from seafood, we've gone over steaks, ribs, turkey. We've gone over every kind of meat out there and the way to barbecue it. So if you want to check out some good stuff, please go ahead and check out that. He has some great tips for you always there. But also the best tips you can always find for barbecuing at, of course, Smoking Hot Confessions. So major plug time, my friend. Where can we check you out now for all the great stuff in the archives, Smoking Hot Confessions, and whatever else you're up to, my friend?
Well, I'm going to direct everybody this time over to the YouTube channel. Go check out Smoking Hot Confessions on YouTube. We've moved over to a video format, so the podcasts are still released in audio format, but they're also in video format. So we've got them over there on the YouTube channel as well. So if you're into audio podcasts, we're on all the different audio podcast players. And, head to YouTube, check that out, Smoking Hot Confessions. We got some crackers up there. I've got a beautiful beginner brisket tutorial video up there that I think you might like as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we talked. Oh, my gosh. Remember when we talked brisket? I did go out to Costco that afternoon. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely, indeed. It is Ben Arnault from Smoking Hot Confessions. There is no better guy out there that can teach you the ways of barbecuing. Go ahead and check out the Zen master himself, Ben Arnault, at Smoking Hot Confessions today. And Ben, it's always great to have you back on the show. Any last thoughts, my friend, before we head on out?
Mate, I don't know what to say.
Been doing this for years, and I enjoy every single moment we've done this.
I know, me too. I was just actually thinking, because you're talking about the how we always talk barbecue at the end. I remember one time, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, you actually had a little grill set up beside you there and you were grilling live as we were recording. Yes. So that was pretty cool. But now look, my final thoughts, I've got everything crossed for Deadpool and Wolverine. Everything's crossed. But as I said right at the top of the episode, I'm inspired to think good thoughts just by the very fact that Hugh Jackman is involved. You know, he wouldn't have come back if he didn't think it was a project worthy of the character, if that makes sense, particularly with the direction of the last couple of Marvel projects.
Yes, I agree with you, my friend. So please go ahead and check out Ben Arnault on Smoking Hot Confessions. And also, when he returns to us right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos.